Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see y'all today in worship. It's a beautiful day outside, isn't it? Had some beautiful weather this week after the rains passed. Today, we're going to pick up a new sermon series. It's going to carry us through the summer weeks. It's going to be based on the book of 1 John. So we're going to preach and teach right through this book through the summer months. And today, we're going to be in chapter 1. So if you want to join me there, that's where our message will be coming today. And let's jump in there. And we're going to read the entire first chapter, which is pretty short. It's only 10 verses, so I think we can cover ground here. Let's pray as we begin to look at this message today. God, we thank you for what we've just declared in that song we sang a moment ago, that we need you. We do, Lord, especially when we come to your word. We need you to give us understanding of it. We need our minds and our hearts to be open to receive it. We need to be instructed by you. We need you to reveal yourself to us. So would you come in these next few moments and do that? Open hearts and minds. Reveal your presence to us. And issue a call, an invitation to us to respond to what we hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, John chapter 1. Let's look at these verses together. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, with His Son, Jesus Christ. We're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message that we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So there was a pastor one day who was in his office. A parishioner showed up at the front and said they would like to see the pastor. So they came back, sent him back to the pastor's office. And a gentleman comes in and says, "Preacher, I think we need to talk about sin more in our church." And the pastor looked at him and said, "Okay, well, you go ahead and tell me what your sins are, and I'll make sure that we cover it next Sunday." Y'all, the title of our message today is "The Lie We Tell Ourselves." And if you're listening to the passage, it should be obvious as to what that lie is that a lot of times we buy into. If we're really honest, when it comes to this topic of sin, we would rather talk about somebody else's sin, wouldn't we, than our own sin. We, you know, a lot of times I have, folks that come up to me after the service and they'll say things like, "Man, I'm really glad you told them today." And I'm thinking, "What do you mean told them? What about you? Did it not speak to you today?" You know, I think our attitude and that we come to a service with determines what we get out. You know, if we come in expecting not to allow the word to address us in all honesty, then we will just think it's for somebody else. But if we come really leaning in and wanting to hear a word for us, then I think we'll receive that. But, you know, the thing is, when we read and study the Word of God and we look at God's will for our lives, I think it becomes clear that we all fall short of that from time to time. Like, we truly struggle to live up to all of God's Word and all of the standards of Scripture. We all miss the mark, right? That's right. We all do. We all miss the mark. We often try to convince ourselves and other people, though, that we're better than we really are, that we're cleaner than we actually are, that we're more righteous, and all of those kinds of things. But denying our sin, that it exists in us too, does not make us holy, but rather it makes us to be liars, according to what John says here. Now, this book of 1 John, you notice when it opens up, it reads a lot like the Gospel of John, doesn't it? That which we have seen and heard in the beginning, we now tell you, and the word of life was made manifest to us, and we have seen it, and we have proclaimed that message. You know, it sounds just like the Gospel of John, which says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we have beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten Son sent from the Father. Well, the reason there's a ring of resemblance to the Gospel of John is because 1 John is written by that same John, one of the disciples of Jesus. We believe it was written around the end of the first century. And what we actually have here is not really a letter like a lot of the other New Testament smaller books that we attribute to Paul, like Ephesians and Colossians, Philippians, and many of those other books. This is actually, we believe, a sermon that John wrote down and sent out to the churches around Ephesus at the end of the first century. And so John says in the beginning here in this first chapter that the gospel invites us out of darkness and into the light. And what he's saying is coming into the light doesn't mean perfection. No, it does not mean that somehow or another we're made perfect when we receive the gospel and we step into the light of it. But rather, the salvation that we experience by receiving the gospel is something that it takes time in our life to really lead us into perfection. And it's something that many of us will never experience this side of heaven. Like, it's going to be later when we experience that perfection that we believe that God is really desiring for us. And so we're going to struggle with our brokenness and our sin throughout our Christian journey. So don't be deceived in thinking that somehow or another you've made it across the finish line when you have received the message about Jesus. But rather, coming into the light means honesty, that we're honest with ourselves and our shortcomings and our sins. It means that coming into the light is about being cleansed. And that's something that needs to take place throughout our life. It's not about covering up or trying to be somebody that we're not. And most importantly, John points out that coming into the light is where we find fellowship with God. God is light. And by coming into the light, we find God. And we find fellowship with Him. So how do we do that? How do we step into the light? Well, as I read through this chapter, there are a few things that stand out to me. The first thing is we like to create the illusion of innocence. If you look at verse 8, John says, if we claim to have no sin, then we are fooling ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. and we're not living in the truth. You see, we tend to think that we're not all that bad. I mean, we compare ourselves to others and we say, well, at least I'm not a murderer. At least I'm not like those other people in the church. You know, they've got sin in their life, but I've just got mistakes. You know, I've just got little things going on in my life. Our sins aren't as bad as other people's sins. We're guilty of making those kinds of comparisons. But John says claiming to be sinless is fooling ourselves and amounts to calling God a liar. Listen to what he says in verse 10. He says, if we claim to have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. You see, John is calling all of us into the light of introspection, of looking at ourselves and realizing that we may be Christians, but that doesn't mean that we have somehow or another overcome the sin struggle. God calls us into the light, not perfection or the illusion of having it all together. But we tend to want to create this illusion that we're better than we really are and not seeing the reality of our continual need for God's grace. And that leads me to a second thing that I notice in this passage, and that is confession is really what makes us free. If we want to experience freedom and joy that Paul is talking, that John is talking about in the opening verses here, then we have to be honest. And when we're honest, it leads us to confession. Listen to what John says in verse 9. If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Y'all, confession is not weakness. It's not resignation, like we're just giving in. But rather, confession is a doorway that we walk through that leads us into freedom. I remember as a teenager, one weekend I convinced my mom to let me borrow her car. I didn't have a car at the time, and I wanted to go hang out with some friends. And so I told her I was, you know, wanted the car, if she would let me have it, to go down a couple of miles down the road and hang out with a friend of mine. Well, I didn't go to that friend's house. I actually took the car over to the next town, which was about 8 miles away. And I spent the night there with another group of friends, just kind of cruising around, you know, doing what we used to do as teenagers back in the old days, you know, riding the loop in Houston. And so I spent the evening doing that and kind of come back home at curfew time. And my mom and my stepdad, they asked me when I got home if I had a good time. I said, oh yeah, I had a great time with my friend. Well, little did I know, they had written down the mileage on the car before I took it. I had no idea. The next morning, they went out and checked it to see if I had done what I said I was going to do. You see, it was a bit of a test. Well, when they looked, they realized what I had done. And so they asked me again, you know, where did you go last night? What did you do? I said, oh, I went down to Lynn's house. You know, we just hung out. And they said, no, you didn't. We looked at the mileage. Lynn only lives 2 miles down the road. You put like 40 miles on the car. So I knew I had been caught, you know, and it would have been better if I had just told them the truth, because that was the last time I got to borrow her car. It took me a while to regain some freedom, and that was when I was finally able to get my own vehicle. You know, admitting we are wrong is one of the hardest things to do, isn't it? Especially when you've been caught. Boy, it is tough to own up to what we've done. But when we confess our weaknesses, we can find freedom. Because, you know, when we just keep trying to cover up things and try to be somebody that we're not, that is a huge burden to bear. And it can create a lot of guilt and shame in our life, the cover-up. And John is saying to his audience that it is better for us to acknowledge that we need God. That is what it means to step into the light. And that's a constant need in our life. It keeps us close to the heart of what the gospel is really all about. And one of the great things is God says to us through His Word that when we confess our sin to Him, He is faithful, always faithful and just to forgive us. The Lord is merciful when we are honest. But that's what it takes to experience that freedom, is honesty. So John says, come into the light. There is honesty in that light. There is no hiding. You see, the lie binds us, but the truth is what sets us free. And we know that in our relationships with other people too, don't we? Honesty is what deepens our friendships with others when we're truly honest. And the same thing is true with God. The last thing that I see in this passage comes kind of in these middle verses, in verses 5 and 7, where John says, you know, that God is light, and therefore we are to walk in the light. Now, what does he mean? He means that we are to walk in full transparency. You see, there's not a place in our life where God's light can't shine, it can't penetrate, it can't enlighten us to our true self and our true need. And when we come into that light, there's not like God just places all this condemnation on us. But there's something so freeing about being known completely by God. Because not only does God completely know us, we know that He also loves us. He loves us. Fellowship with God means coming into that light and allowing it to expose. The truth of God's Word, you see, reveals and exposes our sin for what it truly is. And it's only in having our sin revealed that we can find the remedy for that. It's only in being honest about that that we discover how God sets us free from it. But if we deny our sin, if we hide it, if we cover it up or play it down, then we will never be able to fully embrace the beautiful gospel that comes to us in God's Word. So fellowship with God and with other people can only happen when we stop pretending. You know, the quickest way to sabotage our relationships is to pretend to be somebody that we're not. Y'all know the reality of that, I know. For some reason, we think we'll only be loved if we try to be the person that everybody else wants us to be. But that's a lie. You see, true love is when the person you're in relationship with knows everything about you, but yet they still choose you. Y'all, that is a great gift. That is where the deepest, most loving relationships happen in life, is being real with people and choosing to love them anyway. We are loved. This is a great truth. Being real enables us to discover this great truth that we are loved even though we don't have it all put together. And being loved leads us to another great truth, that God's love was demonstrated to us while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love. This is Scripture. This is what the Bible says. God's love has been demonstrated through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus. And it is His blood that John reminds us that cleanses us. It doesn't just cover over our sins, but it can actually cleanse us of our sins. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, I was reminded a few moments ago before the service that today is Pentecost Sunday. I had totally forgotten that. But it's a big day in the life of the church. It's the birthday of the church. It's Acts 2 when God sent the Holy Spirit to us and kind of ignited the passion and faith within the life of the early followers of Jesus. And God keeps pouring out the Holy Spirit on us. And the Holy Spirit can do such a deep work inside of our lives that it can actually uproot the power of sin in us. You know, that is such an amazing thing that we have access to. And so this is all made possible because of Jesus and His gospel. So we don't just have to cover over sin, we can be cleansed and delivered from it. That's the power made available to us. So let me ask you today, as we prepare to come and receive communion in a moment, what lies have you been telling yourself? Where have you been trying to cover over sin in your life? Where are you pretending you're fine when you're not? Are you willing today to come into the light, to acknowledge before God your need of His cleansing and His power? You know, I want to invite you as you know, in a minute we'll come down, we'll all get up and we'll walk down to receive the sacrament. As you step out today to do that, I want you to imagine that you're coming into the light. Not to be shamed, but to be set free. To be set free. So come to receive the sacrament as a way of coming into the light. Remember, the truth is what sets us free. But first, it must make us honest. Declare your need for God. Stop lying to yourself and start living in the light.